Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is a little bit different than the several previous ones. In previous weeks, we've had Jesus preach and teach on a lot of things in this last month of Sundays. Lost coins and sheep, the wasteful manager, the rich man, and Lazarus. And last week, we had his teaching on repentance and absolute and total forgiveness. You remember the chalkboard or the whiteboard that we used? Now this week is something different. Now Jesus is healing. And today, he's not just healing one person. He healed 10. 10 lepers. All at once. We tend to think in terms of only the one, because only one came back to give thanks to Jesus. But Jesus' healing was for all 10 lepers, and all at the same time. To me, that's amazing. Back when I was in the book business in Seattle, I used to help a man over the phone on a few occasions. He was retired, and his name was Dr. Paul Brand. You may have heard of him. He's written several books having to do with healing and pain. I know that he has since then passed away. He was quite advanced in years at that point and couldn't get out, so I would help him over the phone and mail him his books. Anyway, as a missionary doctor, he had worked with lepers in both Hawaii and Africa for many, many years. And I'll never forget that in one of his books, when he is describing the gift of pain, and that's the title of one of the books, when he's describing the gift of pain, he tells the story of arriving at the leper colony in Africa. He's needing to get into an old building, and he finds that he can't open the door because the lock is old and rusty, and he simply can't turn the key. It won't budge. Along comes this 10 or 12-year-old boy who has leprosy and tells the doctor, "I can open it." And he steps up, he grabs the key, and with a swift twist, he opens the lock. So the boy smiles up at Dr. Brand, and as Dr. Brand is thanking him, he notices that the boy has gashed his hand all the way down to the bone. You see, leprosy, it's known today as Hansen's disease, kills off nerve endings. So this little boy had no experience of pain to prevent him from cutting himself on the key. Now, the boy knew that. And he was able to cut himself without feeling pain. The obviously bad thing about this is that the boy can deliberately choose to injure himself. And he can do that for something as petty as unlocking a door. And he can smile about it. The infection and disease that can result from deliberate injury could kill the boy. But because he did not have the gift of pain due to leprosy, he didn't choose or didn't know to stop himself from injury. Leprosy is a disease that can harm and kill the person who has it, and it can infect an entire community because it's a communicable disease. Now, today it can be treated in some part and to some degree thanks to the work of Dr. Brand. But leprosy is still a disease. And as a disease, it has both individual and social consequences. Sounds to me like sin. Sin is individual, and it is social as well. Now, you know what sin is in your life and how it infects you and me personally. Things like wicked thoughts, bad desires, self-indulgence, toying with temptation. Those are just some of the personal aspects of our own sinfulness. And doing these can lead to distrust of and even anger toward God, as well as bringing on personally self-destructive behavior, not unlike the leprous boy with the rusty key. Lies, deception, gossip, these too are our sins. And so sin can isolate us from others. Short tempers, impatience, rash reactions, that can lead to gossip, jealousy, and unkind words that ruin relationships. Selfishness, silence, and adultery can ruin marriages. Disrespect, distrust, and even indifference can cause rifts between children and parents. So sin is social, too, in that it infects our relationship with others. And again, like the little boy, sometimes we choose sin. And we choose sin thinking that, well, we're really not hurting anyone because we don't perceive the pain of our sin. We continue to choose sin because we don't think there is pain, since, after all, Jesus died for it, not us. Such choices are ways the disease of sin separates us from God. And that separation is true pain. Sin isolates us from God. We are the lepers standing far, far away from Jesus. Our sin does separate us from our Lord. And left untreated, just like the leprosy of the little boy, it can kill. So sin can damn us also forever and eternally separate us from God. So we, just like the 10 lepers, we cry out to Jesus. Now the lepers didn't presume to rush up to Jesus or grab him and demand to be healed. They didn't study Jesus. They didn't meditate on his teachings and make a conclusion to trust him. No, they were desperate, but humble. They recognized their leprosy, the thing that separated them from him and from others. They call out from a distance. They cry out. They beg. Luther said, he said as much of us when he said in his final recorded words, "We are beggars, it is true." We as sinners do the same thing as those 10 leprous men. We also come before our Lord, acknowledging our sin, like we talked about last week when we spoke about repentance and total forgiveness. We don't come to Jesus and presume anything or demand anything. Nor do we come to Jesus and try to earn his mercy or show him by our good works that we deserve his mercy. We know better. We are sinners. All we can do is beg and cry out for mercy. Now, in our worship, we demonstrate this Every week when we come together. What comes early in our liturgy, in our worship? It's distance is what comes early. We acknowledge when we come here that we're far away from the Lord when we confess our sin. We come asking God for forgiveness. And when we use the Kyrie, like we sung this morning, we use the very same words spoken by the lepers. Lord, have mercy. And how then? How then does Jesus react to our cry? Does he keep his distance? Does he avoid defiling himself as a pious Pharisee would? No, he doesn't do that. Remember from the epistle lesson what Paul says. Read this with me, please. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Neither leprosy nor sin pushes Jesus away from us. Jesus will not deny what he has done for us in his dying on the cross and rising to new life again. A new life that he gives to us, just as he gave healing to the 10 lepers. To them, Jesus speaks words of healing and forgiveness. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," meaning that they will have been made clean and healed. "I will," Jesus says, "I will make you clean." That's his promise. To us, Jesus says the same thing through the words of absolution when we hear them. "I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins." Sin doesn't push Jesus away. Instead, rather, he comes to us and he takes our sin away. As Dr. Brand went to the lepers to help them, in a greater way, Jesus comes to us. He came to earth. He came to earth to take our sin away, to bear for us the pain of sin. Even when, like a leper, we don't feel our sin. And no matter how disgusting our sin is, no matter how it has disfigured us or him, Jesus takes it all to the cross. And there, bearing our disfiguring sin, he dies for it. All of it. Even sin that is done after we've been healed and forgiven through baptism, through confession and absolution, or even after Holy Communion. Even sin we choose, just like the boy choosing to injure himself with the rusty key. Still we repent, and still he forgives. Like we spoke about last week, how often do you return to the doctor's office? As often as you need to. Sin does not keep Jesus away from us. Now, this man, Jerome. Jerome was one of the great fathers of the early Christian church, and he translated the Bible into Latin, which was the language of the people of the day. One night, Jerome had a dream that Jesus had came to visit him in his home. In the dream, he collected all of his money and gave it to Jesus as a gift of love. The Lord said, "I don't want your money." So Jerome rounded up all of his possessions and tried to give them to the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "I don't want your possessions." In his dream, Jerome turned to Christ and said, "Lord, what can I give you? What do you want?" Jesus replied, "First, give me your sin. That's what I came for. I came to take away all of your sins. Give me your sins." Sin does not push Jesus away. Even our sin of choice, like the boy. Jesus truly wants us to cry out to him in confession and give him all our sin, so that he may forgive us with his total absolution. And again, that happens as we gather together each week in worship. Just as sin is both individual and corporate, so also forgiveness can be received corporately and individually. These 10 lepers, all of them were healed, and yet they each received the healing personally. But now we have the issue of the one alone who returns to give thanks. There is only one. And he is the only one to hear Jesus' words, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Only this man, a foreigner, not a Jew, comes back to Jesus after showing himself to the priest and discovering that he was cleansed. Only this man returns to Jesus to give him thanks. There's a lesson in that for us. When we don't return the gratitude we should by forgetting to worship, or by mumbling through our prayers, or by not gratefully returning to God our tithes, offerings, and talents, even these things don't keep Jesus from us. But what they do is they keep us from hearing what Jesus would say to us. When we forget to return thankfulness to God for the grace of Christ Jesus, we're the ones who lose out. Just as the 9 lepers never heard Jesus' personal words to them, so when we skip worship or withhold our prayers or get stingy, we lose out on a closer relationship with Jesus, the relationship that he has set us free for. So then, in Jesus' healing of us, we have an opportunity, it's an invitation, if you will, to get closer to Jesus. Failing to give thanks is missing out on that invitation to be closer to Christ. Because giving thanks is really about being close to Jesus. He has done the work that has brought us to him by his healing and forgiving us through his death and his resurrection. Now, because of that, we're free to spend our daily lives being close to the one who has given us reason to praise him and to long to know him better. It's like standing on the seashore. Talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning. For me, it's like standing on the seashore. When the sea and the land meet, it is a place that reminds me of being close to God. I've spent my life on land, but there are a few times when I've been to sea on great ships. It's a different life at sea. It's different than it is on land. But when you stand on the shore with your feet in the sand being lapped at by the sea, you experience a little bit of both places. You have a longing for both the safety of land and for the foreign vast richness of the sea. The distance between those two is bridged there at the shore. There you are part of both worlds. And the cross of Jesus Christ does that for us between here and heaven. It brings us to the shore of heaven. And we experience both longing and peace as we have at the cross the opportunity now for praise. The distance between God and us is indeed removed totally by that cross of Christ and his words of forgiveness. Reminds me of Ruth in the Old Testament lesson today when she clung to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and said, "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even what? If even death separates you and me." Having been made clean, we can now return to him freely in praise and thanksgiving and worship with no fear of death, no boundaries, no disease that separates us from him. Day by day, moment by moment, we can draw close to Jesus in joyful gratitude and we can live our lives that way. We can be absolutely confident and joyful that he is always. We can be absolutely confident and joyful that he is always with us, that nothing can separate us from his love. Now, the story of the 10 lepers, that's our story. The one leper who returns by the grace of God, he is who we are called to be. This worship every week that we take part in is a worship of thanksgiving and praise for our Lord's healing works and his words. Remember that? Words and works, words and works. This is his healing works and words spoken to us that totally remove from us the leprosy of our sin. As beggars of the Lord, we're made clean and forgiven and holy and free. We're free to come to him and praise him, thank him, and to celebrate that he has made us one with he and the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through his work, we are cleansed totally of our leprous sin, both now and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.